So let's, shall we preach the word of God today? I can? Oh, thank you. So great to have Andrea in church this morning. That'd be my wife. Such a naughty girl sometimes up the front here. But we love her dearly. Well, I do anyway. You can share her a little bit. All right. So, all right. Let me, I just want to stay with Luke 4, 18 and 19. And so, freedom is here is the title of my message. Turn to your neighbour and say, freedom is here. Who believes that? Yeah. Come on, who believes it? Yeah. You got to believe it, right? Yeah. It's like what I was talking about before, for God. It's like you got to stir it up. Yeah. For God. Is anyone for God today? Yeah. Stir yourself up this morning and let's see what God can do in our lives and in the lives of his church. So Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I just thought I'd give you the Message Bible. Who enjoys reading the Message Bible just for a change? Okay, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. This is God's year to act. So my first point this morning is have an outward focus. I thought since we had Nicola last week, it would be appropriate to stay on this subject. And, you know, Jesus had an outward focus. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. We are to be a people that walk in the light of God. And light dispels darkness. Having Jesus in our life changes what comes out of our mouth. Amen? And the way that we act towards others is different. Because there is a love, there is a compassion, there is something in us that is caused by the power of the Holy Spirit within us that is reaching out with life to another person. Who'd like to be more like that in 2019? And so, I have a friend who owns a successful signwriting company. And a few weeks back, he was at the gymnasium and he could hardly move his neck. And I said, "What are you doing here?" Because it was obvious that he was in a lot of pain. And he rang me later that day and he said, "I have some banners ready for you to pick up." And so I said, "You know what? Why don't you come down," because the signwriting company is literally just a 2-minute walk away. "Why don't you come down to the church and Barry and I can pray for you?" And he said, "Okay, Nigel." And so rather than him having to come up the stairs, I walked down the stairs. Barry followed me. In walks my friend from the gymnasium and my signwriter friend that I've known for a long time and been talking to him about God when I get the opportunity. And he's standing. He says, "Here's your banners." I said, "That's fantastic." We had a look at them. Awesome. Although he did our freedom banners, in fact. And anyway, so I say, can we pray for you, for your neck? And so he said, "I'd like that, Nigel." You don't do that if you've just met a person, like, and unless you really feel it, like, you kind of got to build a little bit of relationship. This has been going on a little while, and so he knows me and he trusts me, and so I said, can I lay my hand on your neck? He said, you do that, Nigel. And so we prayed, and then Barry starts praying. And I said, so how's your neck? And he goes, like you do, he goes, it feels hot. And I said, that's the power of God on your neck. That is God showing you that his presence is real. He goes, thank you, Nigel. I said, thank God, not me. It's, you know, anyway. And then Barry really thought that he'd like to pray a bit more, and he prays a bit more. And I'm thinking, well, I wasn't expecting that, but hey, it's happened now. This is my mate that I have to talk to every day. Is he going to talk to me tomorrow? Serious, right? Anyway, the next day at the gym, my friend comes up to me and he says, that Barry's a really good bloke. I like him. And I said, I'm glad you... He says, there's no... Well, he actually used one of those words which kind of means... No, yeah, with him, yeah. And I said, that's exactly right. And Jesus is a no-nonsense God. The next day, he comes up to me and he says, I said, how are you feeling? He goes, oh, so much better, so much better. And I go, wow, isn't God amazing? And he goes, I just thank you for spending the time. And he goes, but I'll go into the what do they call those people? Physios this afternoon. I said, what do you need? You don't need to do that. God's healing you. Anyway, he went to the physio the next day. He was in agony. Seriously. And I talked to him the next day and said, how's your neck? And he goes, oh, not good. Not good. I said, okay, I want us to have an agreement. He goes, yeah, that'd be good, Nigel. I says, in 7 days, if you're not well, will you allow me to pray for you again? He goes, yeah, I'd like that, Nigel. And so, in 7 days' time, I didn't see my friend at the gym. I'm trying not to use his name in case he listens to this message. Anyway, you're probably going to know by now anyway. So anyway, he comes in a week. I'd actually rang him and said, I haven't seen you. Are you okay? And he didn't answer his message. And he had gone to someone else as well and just decided that he just had a week off. And I said, look, I'm still praying for you. I believe God's moving on your life. Now, he came back over a week later and said he just, you know, had some help from other professionals, and that's great. But can I say, church, if God's moving on your life, allow God to finish what he started. If God's moving on your life, allow him to finish what he started. We don't need anything else. We've got a Savior that can take care of our world. And he's not close to God right now, my friend, but I'm believing that he's getting a little bit closer. I don't see it as a failure, because if I had failed, then I wouldn't have moved in the first place. We just try and be obedient to what God calls us to do. We can't control what other people are going to do. Can we do this as a church this year? Preach the good news to the poor, however you're gifted to do it. They know at the gym that I just go the bold. That's just Nigel. They're not going to argue with me anyway. And so I've just got built relationship now. And so they know that's Pastor Nigel over there. Some of the guys avoid me. And so he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor of what? Spirit. And so this is God's year to act through me. This is God's year to act through me. That's it. And every year from now on, amen. The woman caught in adultery, which is in John 8, is a really interesting, I'm not going to turn to it much, maybe a couple of verses. This is a really helpful passage when we're dealing with people that don't know God. And let's face it, if we are going to bring good news, it's going to help to bring good news that don't confess Jesus as Lord of their life. And so Jesus says to her, after all her accusers have dropped their stones and left her only with Jesus. Verse 11 of John 8, it says, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Notice that Jesus did not say, "Your sins are forgiven you." Really interesting. He did not say, "Go in peace." He does not say that what she has done is not condemnable. Rather, he simply leaves the matter where it was. He is not in any sense of the word acting as judge, but what he was saying was this: go and sin no more, begin a new life, and as you do this, it will lead to permanent change in your life. And what did the woman say to Jesus when he asked her, "Has no one condemned you?" Jesus says to her, "Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." You and I will win people by being true to the word of God, yet at the same time being gracious with words we choose to use. And so, Father, today I pray upon every person this kind of a spirit, that we would just take people where they're at. And I thank you, Lord, that your spirit is greater than anything we can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so the truth is, that religion was going to stone this woman. Imagine if that was today. There'd be a lot of stonings, right? I mean, they'd be lined up everywhere. I mean, my goodness. I was thinking about it. Ooh. Anyway, better not go there. Don't be naughty, Nigel. Okay, nobody can adhere to the law all the time. Does anyone speed occasionally? She's being naughty again. I always speed. Well, a lot. Anyway, I've got friends in here that are like me. Thanks, Greg. And Wes. Funny how it runs in families. Jared missed out. Anyway, too crazy. Yeah. Nobody can adhere to the law all the time, right? Is anyone glad that there's freedom in Christ? Yes. We're all going to fall off the perch. Hopefully not too far, but hey, we all make mistakes. And we're going to feel pretty miserable at times with ourselves, and if we just add up all the things we do wrong, right? We're going to feel pretty lousy. Depression will be pretty quickly on upon us. So when you're speaking with a non-believing person, someone who doesn't regularly attend church, someone that doesn't have Jesus inside of them, and you start sharing your faith and what, and you know, without they, what's a common question? What did you do on the weekend? Oh, you know, not much. No, you can say, actually, I went to church and it was the best part of my day. Who thinks that'd be a good one? And then don't condemn them when they tell you what they've done on the weekend. Ask the Holy Spirit's wisdom on what to say next. Who'd like to preach some good news to the poor? And so, freedom is outward. Let's have an outward focus. Second, freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. And some things we do make us bound up, not free. And this is what Jesus was communicating to the woman in a non-judgmental way. We speak good news to people when we are free. If you are not free, you will tend to hide. When Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden and they partook of what they knew they shouldn't have, because God said to them, you can do whatever you like, but not that one. Who knows that in a human race, that when you say not that one, that you want to touch it? That you actually, if you're like my wife in the shops, you touch everything. Because you've got to feel it. And then maybe if it feels good, you know, if it's a piece of clothing, I like that. I'll take that one. See, they knew that they should not have taken the fruit. They knew. Are we all in the same camp here? Because God had already pre-warned them and been clear with them. And in Adam and Eve's case, one of them had partaken of what they knew they should not have, and they saw everything differently, and their innocence left them. Their what? Their innocence left them. Christians who last the distance maintain their holiness by adhering to the Word of God. Our freedom is through living out the words of this book, the Bible. Wasn't it good seeing those Bibles sent to Sierra Leone? That's so good. Barry's doing such a good job with that stuff, amongst other things. And so, when God came walking through the garden looking for Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from him. They didn't have to do that before. And when God called out to them, Adam said, I was afraid. Because I was naked. I have come to set you free. And when we go down a road that is against what God has for our life, there is something that comes on us that makes us fearful, that is not of God. It's something that we should strive to actually be holy and live out the Word of God in our lives, because it means that we will progress and the freedom will come more, not less, in our life. Don't hide, church. Encounter him. Does anyone want to encounter him this year? Let's not hide. Let's not do things in secret. That's actually the occult. That's actually bordering on witchcraft. Let's be bold and go with Jesus and actually be out in the open so that we can actually be a good news person. He has come to set you free. Not bind you up. Not condemn you, not run you down. He's come to lift you up. And the devil deceived Adam and Eve, telling him that everything would be all right. If it looks good, why not? Will it really hurt me if I do that thing? And you know, the truth is, the devil loves to parade himself as God. It's not that bad. You can do that. You won't die. Do not be deceived. Short-term pleasure will end up not in freedom, but in a lot of pain. You have to choose to live in freedom. Today, church, can we choose to live in freedom? Here's the thing. Religion means to bind, whereas faith means to release. And I thank you, Lord, that when we live according to your word and we do what's in our spirit, what our spirit is telling us to do, that there is going to be more freedom in our life and less pain and less problems. And ultimately, the devil's an accuser. Heaviness is not from God. Feeling guilty when you're doing your best, it's not God. He's not asking for you to be perfect. He's asking you to do what you can. And the devil's schemes will suck the life right out of you. And fears are not what God wants for you. Fear of failure. So many people don't do things because they think that they're not going to be able to do it. But that's not the Spirit of God. Have a go. Fail forward. Fear of stepping into something new. Fear of raising your hands to worship Him. Fear of doing the wrong thing in front of others. Fear of authority. All these things are overcome through Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for freedom in this house today. I thank you, Lord, that we are born again, that we have the Spirit of God inside of us, and we are going to live a freed life. And so Jesus has come into this world to set you and I free from fear. Free from it. And there is a mindset out there that says, don't buy a house right now, as one example. Well, I think it's one of the best times of the world to buy a house right now. There is a something over our culture, over our people that is not from. There's a time that we can progress in our life. Who knows if you don't step out and see what God can do for you? I was afraid because I'm naked. And yet three times in this verse, Jesus says, I've come to set you free. Luke 4, 18, 19. I've come to set you free. And so faith is not naked and wanting. It seizes every opportunity and brings glory to God. And if that's not enough, you know, Paul says to Timothy, like I've been saying this morning, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God does not desire that we have a lack of moral strength. You have God's Spirit in you. You walk by faith. Fear is not from God and should always be put in its place. He has given you the courage to talk to your friend. He has given you the courage to pray for that person. He has given you the courage to believe for your children when they're feeling ill, to actually see them get healed before what the doctor says. Jesus is on our side. And so the Holy Spirit and His power go hand in hand and is a direct gift for every one of us. And then Romans 8:15, what an incredible verse from Paul. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoptions means that it is the Holy Spirit which makes believers children of God. And this power casts out fear from ourselves and moves us to cast out fear from others as well. You know, we know from Bible history, guys like Gideon had thousands and thousands in his army, and the Midianites and the Amalekites were like in hordes, the Bible says. And he was a little bit timid and wasn't sure. But he did what God said. And he said, those guys that are lapping up and not looking around the water, get rid of those, you don't need them. And he's left with 300 against 100,000 army. God says, go with them. You see, when we've got God on our side, has anyone got God on this side today? When we've got God on our side, it doesn't matter the size or who you are or who you think you are. It matters who's behind you. And if the Holy Spirit is behind you, you can move that thing away. And in this case, Gideon, actually, the God said, well, why don't you go down there? So he went down there and he heard a dream. He heard a dream from the people in talking in their tents, the Amalekites and the Midianites and all the Vegemites and Marmites. And they're all there. And they're all talking about this, about the God of Gideon. I had this dream, one of them says, and he's on the other side of the tent. I had this dream because I tell you, when God's on your side, He's going to make sure that it's going to come to you. It's going to work for you. And he's on the other side and he's hearing this. He says, you know, I see that we're going to be overtaken by this army because God's on their side. And that's all that Gideon needed. And he says, right, boys, we might be 300, but we're going to be valiant today and we're taking over this entire field of people. And the people got so confused, they started fighting one another and then they all just fled and ran away. Incredible. It's who you've got on your side. Has anyone got Jesus on their side today? And so, you know, it doesn't matter how big, difficult, numerous the enemy appears to be, God is your deliverer. His freedom comes through the power of your Holy Spirit on our lives. I can't finish this message today without praying for some people. If God's speaking to you before we finish today, I'd like to pray with you. And if you don't know God today, I'd like to pray with you because I'm convinced that He will set you free, that He has the power to transform your life, that He has the power to take what you think is nothing and make it remarkable, because that's our God. He's a God that is a deliverer. He's a God that can change circumstances. He's a God that sees like there's nothing in front of you that's any good whatsoever. God can make something very good for you. It's just the way the Word of God works. All we got to do is trust Him. All we got to do is put faith in Him. Will you put faith in Him today, church? And so, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let's say it together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set all who are oppressed free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Thank you, Father, that your word changes lives. Lastly, share His freedom. What do we got to do, church? Share His freedom. To proclaim the acceptable, I love this part. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:19, in Message Bible, it says this is God's year to act. And I thank you, Lord, that this is God's year to act in our lives as a church. I thank you, Lord, that there are new things happening. I thank you, Lord, that there are people coming in that have never been to our house before, but they're going to make it home. I thank you, Lord, for all the things you're going to do this year in our people's lives. I thank you, Lord, for this great church. Such a blessing. See, when Moses, the acceptable year of the Lord, let's get back there. All right. When Moses drafted up the constitution for the people of Israel, in it was this year of Jubilee. You can have a look at it if you'd like to in your spare time in Leviticus 25. And Isaiah 61, verse 2, talks about it too. Every 50 years, all the slaves had to be set free. It may have been due to poverty. I'll just give you the background of this. It may have been due to poverty that these people had to sell their children or themselves to another master. Now, we don't have slavery in our Western world, but it wasn't that long ago, even with our own Aboriginal people. And so this was, I'm just trying to get perspective here. And so they had to, because it was the only way of survival, be sold into slavery. But when the year of Jubilee came around, every 50 years, once in a lifetime, they had to be set free, baby. They were totally free. Now, it also talks in Scripture it's very clear, actually, and all commentators agree on it, that every debt that you had to anybody or any institution was wiped out. Who's got debt here? Who'd like to have that debt completely wiped out? Who owes anything to anybody? God's got it covered. He's in every 50 years. That's well, I'm past 50, Greg. You and me are in the same club. You're a bit further along, but hey. You know, what I'm so excited about this is that this is really, there's a spiritual deal going on here. This is not just natural. Your mortgage gone. I'd be on that Toyota ad. Your car loan gone. Your loan account, whatever it is, free from accumulating interest. Hex debt for some of you. All right. Whatever it is, you don't owe mum and dad anything anymore. Restoration. Not only that, restoration of all property. You get your house back. You get what? Your house back. And due to hardship that you had to sell your house, now it's yours again. Who thinks that's pretty cool? Who thinks God's pretty amazing? Who thinks that was a good law that he instituted? See, nobody owned anything anymore. Can you imagine if we walked out into the street today and all debt was gone from every person's life? Can you? I don't think you're getting this. I mean, this would be like there would be a big party, right? I'm free. I'm free. There'd be a lot of people not turn up for work, I guess. But anyway, apart from that, the atmosphere in town, knowing that every single person is free from every debt. And this is what Jesus is communicating to each and every one of us today. I have come to set you free from every single thing that binds you up, holds you up, constricts you. Freedom is here. Freedom is in Jesus' name. I proclaim it over our church today and over every person, Father, that's not here for whatever reason. And I thank you, Lord, that flows down a wellard as well. Jesus is our Jubilee. He has come to be your deliverer. He has come to be your healer. He has come to release you from debt. He has come to heal your broken heart. And when God proclaims something, it happens. And when Jesus spoke to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," he meant it literally. "Lazarus, come out, loose him and let him go." Jesus has come to take all our grave clothes off. You and I are his freedom fighters. Elta, you're going to be a freedom fighter. My goodness. Catherine, you already are. You're up there or behind there, but you're into it. You know, we are setting people free. Amen. It's something on us. We can't help ourselves. So if we get in trouble for being loud and boisterous and having good news and laughing, then so be it. Come on. Oh, we got Jesus inside of us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so when Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch out," the religious people, you can't do that. Not today. It's the Sabbath. Do you think Jesus cares about what day it is? He cares about setting you and I free. Will you stand up on the inside this year, church? Let's have the music team up. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God has come that into our lives so that we will be share, have an outward focus. God has come that we would be adhere to the word of God and live free lives. God has come that we would be set free in every way.